You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector, and published author on influencer marketing strategy. Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcasts Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing-related shows. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this show just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, today I'm talking with Mark Jarrett, who refers himself as a disruptive, game-changing virtual power connector, which is quite a mouthful, I know. But he manages over 220 WhatsApp groups. So clearly he's a networking influencer.
So I started my career in the financial services industry back in the days when greed was good. I was a banker and a futures broker in the 1980s, but I spent the rump of my career in telecoms. I was first to market with logos and ringtones in the UK back in the day when every other person had a Nokia. It only worked with Nokia. And I went into all the red tops of the Sun, the Mail, the Star, the Sport with something called Logo Paradise, where people could order a ringtone or a logo for their dumb phone, as we call them now. That really exploded. At one stage, there were 14 full page ads just with logos and ringtones. I had the first to market advantage on that. But it's a market that exploded and kind of imploded quite quickly. 10 years ago, I launched the world's first celebrity chat line service where people could call and speak to celebrities to raise money for good causes.
That's amazing, right? Yeah. Any ones that you can recall, remember?
I used the word celebrity lightly. These were people from reality TV shows and whatnot, but they kept all the money. In retrospect, I should have paid the charities directly and not pay them first. But anyway, at least I tried.
Yeah, so what happened next?
Well, I've been networking all my life. And then I had an epiphany moment in the shower a few years back where I thought, hang on, why don't I network professionally? And I was actually in a WhatsApp group, which was headed by one of the leading networkers in the UK. And I onboarded more people to that WhatsApp group than everyone else combined. I was evicted 5 times. For bad behavior, because I can be a bit cheeky sometimes. But because I'm good at what I do, they kept on inviting me back. But on the 5th eviction, I thought, hang on, why should I spend all this time and effort populating his WhatsApp group? I'll do it myself. And then the Virtual International Pub WhatsApp group was born. Then 2 people in that group had an interest in education. So I created a WhatsApp group called Education, 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 a la Tony Blair. That was too long, so it's actually called Education, Education. And now that's morphed into something about 70 or 80 people in there who are all involved in the education sector. I now operate 222 groups. Each has got its own theme. So that might be biotech, construction, automotive, fashion, powerful women, you name it. There's a WhatsApp group for everything. And if not, I'll just go ahead and create one.
What's the optimum size, do you think, for a WhatsApp group?
So a WhatsApp group doesn't hold more than 256 people.
Right.
I would say the optimum or the average size is maybe about 30 or 40 in my particular case.
I'm guessing the benefit being it's because it's a much more of a community and people feel it's like anything. If you go onto Zoom, some of the best meetings I've ever heard or seen have been the ones that have got maybe 20 people on them, because the moment it gets to sort of 60, 80, 100, people don't always contribute as much and the balance dynamic doesn't always work.
The real magic happens in the small niche groups because you've got a meeting of minds automatically there.
So if somebody wasn't, for example, involved in any of your groups, what do you do that keeps people involved and engaged? Because it's like one of the biggest challenges we all have is the attention economy, isn't it? We're wrestling not necessarily as much with people's money, it's more about people's time, isn't it? And I know, for example, when I became involved in some of your groups, you were very keen to make sure that I had a proper bio. You effectively introduced me to a number of groups. So I think that was quite a smart move, so that it wasn't me introducing them, but you as the parent of the group, if you will, did that. Tell me more about how you do that with other people and what sort of reaction you get.
Well, networking is like opening a bank account. You cannot make a withdrawal until you've made a deposit. So networking is about taking an interest in other people and serving them. Because if you take an interest in other people, they will take an interest in you. So to answer your question, I take an interest in people and I act as a kind of business matchmaker. So if something vaguely relevant comes up, like influencers, because you work in the influencer space, if something came up involving influencers, I would take a screenshot of that and send it to you privately. And then you can dive in at the relevant point and contribute. Because these WhatsApp groups are a time suck. But because I live on WhatsApp, I don't miss a trick.
And that's a really good point that you've made there, because I think it's not just about creating an introduction. It's a timely introduction, isn't it? Underline bold the word timely. And I'm guessing anything that is an introduction from somebody that's already seen. I mean, I guess I benefit from the credibility that you have within the group, because I don't know many of the people, although funny enough, I have seen a few people in there that I do recognize, but largely I wouldn't maybe know that. And for somebody coming into that community, it's a really good way of connecting with those people. And so how do you know Mark then? It's that sort of story, isn't it? Ah, well, we met. It's all about storytelling and building trust, isn't it? Because that's the that's the other big thing.
At the end of the day, Gordon, business boils down to people and trust. So what I've done is built and curated this incredible ecosystem of amazing people globally and created an environment where they feel safe to engage with one another. And then the business comes later. That's why I'm a little bit anti multi-level marketing, which tends to be transactional right from the get-go. I'm all about building those human connections first and then doing business.
Yeah. And that's why I think you and I resonated almost from the start, didn't we? Because we are of like minds in the same way, really. I believe in the importance and value of people, relationships. I love this analogy with the bank of you wouldn't take a withdrawal out until you actually had a deposit. And it's the same way with people, isn't it?
In our case, it was Leslie Batchelor, OBE, that introduced us. And the fact that she did so means I don't really need to care about trusting you. It's a given.
Of course.
You know,
of course,
because I trust her. She's such an extraordinary lady. That's why referrals are so powerful.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. If I recommend somebody to you, for example, because you trust me, it's inbuilt that that person's going to be good.
Exactly.
And if they're not, then not only does the person that's being referred to, you know, look like a bit of an idiot, but it also somewhat implodes back up the line to me. So, for example, if I referred somebody to you and they were awkward or unpleasant or did something that was totally inexcusable, you could, to a degree, question my judgment, and vice versa, of course. And that's why I think I often talk about, one circle of influence. Who are the people that really are influential and, you know, you will only grow your real personal brand by having others around you that are advocating for you because they trust and believe in what you do.
That's why I never make the invite links to the WhatsApp groups public. Yeah. Because I only need one bad actor who could ruin my reputation.
Of course.
So I know all of my tribe. So they're all screened and vetted, so to speak, because we don't want any bad actors in there.
No, I agree. So tell me a little bit about, confidentially aside, what sort of magic happens within these groups? Tell us about some of the experiences other people have had, the businesses that have been generated, or anything else that you feel has been a real positive outcome, aside from getting people together.
So last week, someone posted something in one of my generic groups. They had a high net worth individual in South Africa that's looking for a bodyguard. So I flipped that inquiry over to my executive protection WhatsApp group. And within half an hour, five people came forward and one of them was employed the next week.
Amazing.
So it's the long tail approach. And in some ways, the more niche and outlandish the request is, the better, because you're more likely to find a counterparty. So tech won't cut it. I don't have a WhatsApp group about tech because it's too broad. But if it's agri-tech, femtech, fintech, there's even tech, would you believe? You're more likely to have a meeting of minds.
I agree. How do you find new people for your groups? Others, I mean, obviously, we were referred, but is that the way it largely grows? How do you promote the community?
Through referrals. Also, LinkedIn plays a key role in what I do, but I sometimes describe LinkedIn as the world's least social network, because the actual UX on LinkedIn, I find it a little bit clunky, but it's an invaluable tool because you can see where they went to school, where they've worked, what connections you have in common, who's recommended them, etc. So it's like an online resume or CV. But as a communications tool, I find it lacking. And I see WhatsApp as a kind of conduit between LinkedIn and Remo, Zoom, or of course, in person, where the real magic happens. Because the whole point of networking is to arrive at a meaningful one-to-one situation. I've been extolling the virtues of virtual networking since 2018, long before the pandemic, because it saves so much time, money, and carbon. We're not flying and driving. We're having meetings in the comfort of our own homes with people from all over the world. I live in a town called Horsham, between London and Brighton in the south of England. If I go to networking events locally, it tends to be very hyper-local. You know, I can't really help the local window cleaner and she can't help me. So I love the global aspect of doing networking this way.
Yeah, and I think that has absolutely exploded over the last 2 years, isn't it? But maybe because we've been forced to do that. So you said that you would grow new communities. Which are the few that you've recently added to your 220? And how did that come about?
So I'm working with the company that will be powering Disney's centenary next year. So that group is called 100 Years of Wonder. Web 3.0, the metaverse is another new one. I've got crypto, blockchain, and all those kind of groups. NFT masterminds.
So that's really interesting. What's not worked well? Has anything either surprised you or you thought, okay, well, we're going to need to change that? What's not worked so well?
My WhatsApp group ecosystem is full of lurkers. There's a lot of lurkers, but it's perfectly normal in an internet community to have lurkers. A lurker, as you know, is someone who is part of an internet community but doesn't take part.
Yes.
So whenever one of my WhatsApp groups gets full, I have a virtual cull and then I remove people who just aren't contributing. In fact, in my performing arts WhatsApp group, I had one of the leading producers from Las Vegas in there, you know, a bit of a luminary, but he never said anything. So I...
And now at the moment, there's no charge, or is there a membership fee?
Now that the network has become quite large, it's become quite valuable. So I've been reaching out to my network and asking them if they find value in what I do, and would they be prepared to pay me £1 per group per month? And most of them have been saying yes. Then some people hire me to network for them with my networking concierge service. This networking isn't for everyone. Some people hate it, but most people simply do not have the time. So at the moment, for example, today, I'm focusing on a client who has asked me to reach out to all the major property developers in the United Kingdom, which I'm doing for her. And I'm setting up remote meetings. And then at that meeting, I will make the introduction and walk away. But the real money is in the transactions that arise as a consequence of the existence of the network. So finding a buyer for a seller for a buyer, a capital raise, finding distribution partners and whatnot, connecting dots. It's a win-win-win. Everyone's happy because all business people are more than happy to pay a referral commission. I know I am.
Yeah, no, indeed. And I think that's the way where you are supporting a community. As long as somebody knows that they're not doing it just for the money, they're doing it because actually there's a genuine interest. People are buying into our black books, aren't they, of contacts, which we haven't just created yesterday. We've taken years to curate.
I actually posted something about that recently, that if it takes me half an hour to do something that took me 10 years to learn, I'm charging you for the years, not the minutes.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. My sister says exactly the same to me, to be honest.
Yeah.
So just perhaps just sort of summarize in the end, few minutes, just give us a few of your top tips on how to be a professional networker. For somebody that may be a bit shy, not sure about it, what are some of the things that you would give as your sort of takeaway tips?
Well, as I say, take an interest in people and to serve, to see how you can help them. I encourage something called ORS in my community, which is open, random and supportive, which is almost the antithesis of corporate thinking. So if you've suffered any trauma in your life, for example, share it. You know, it keeps things real and it gets away from all that corporate BS. And then we can connect more at a human level. And to be patient, it's a long game, networking. It's all about planting seeds and building those relationships. And it might be a year or two before a relationship monetizes itself.
Back in the day when I was around, I used to see what I call like the Yellow Pages salespeople that would literally just go down the list and pound the phones, or they'd go to an event and they'd hand out business cards so swiftly. It's like, look, I'm a coach, this is what I do. And you're thinking, this is so terrible. They haven't built up any trust. They haven't built up any sense of value in what that person is going to do. And lastly, they haven't even shown any interest in the prospect, have they? Because they've just planted themselves on that person. It actually works in reverse, because I've seen this happen time and time again, where somebody says, oh my God, look, here he is again, you know, or here she is again. And you see somebody like that at a networking meeting and you think, oh, well, you just want to avoid them.
Yeah. The lady that heads a networking group in Wales called IntroBiz, she's got a lovely anecdote about that. Her boss told her once to start networking more. So she started going to networking events and dishing out the cards like you just described. Nothing happened. And then she met a wise person who told her that networking is about helping others and serving. And she totally changed her mindset. And then in that year, she billed over £100,000 in new business. That's the way to do it.
It's been absolutely fabulous talking to you today, Mark, and thank you for taking the time out. And I'm delighted to be part of your WhatsApp community, and I'm sure others will be too. How can they find out about you?
If you go to my website, which is mjconsultancy.com, E-M-J-A-Y-consultancy.com, there's a WhatsApp button on the top right-hand corner of that website where you can just connect with me on WhatsApp directly. And then I can send you a menu of all my groups. Failing that, if you just go to LinkedIn and search for my name, Mark Jarrett, you can connect with me that way. Those are the best two channels to reach me on.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback, gordon@gordonglenister.com. Or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you feel like it and you're able to give us a 5-star review on this episode, we really do appreciate it. Also, if you want help in creating an influencer marketing strategy or want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable weekly event, which takes place on a Wednesday morning, please head over to gordonglenister.com where you can find out all about it. And if you want to find out more about our shows, go over to the marketingpodcastnetwork.net. You almost like to check out Jason Fall's Winfluence as well as many others. Thanks as always to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.